Right. I just want to say that it is good to see Steve Hassan here at church today. Steve has Steve had a rupture in his aorta. What, about 6 weeks ago, Steve? And so I believe this is his first time back at church since he's been through all of this. They've ripped his chest in half and fixed everything up. And thank God for the doctors that that were there and the ambulances and everything that were there. And Steve's a walking miracle. It's good to see you, Steve. I'm glad to have you back at church. We missed you. We missed you. There's a couple pictures that I've seen that I want to share with you. And most of the titles that go with these pictures say, "This is why women live longer than men." And here is one of the first pictures. I don't know if you can see what's going on in this picture, but there's a forklift lifting what looks like some pretty, some gas liquid, something? I don't know what that is. But I'm pretty sure it's not OSHA approved. And again, these are things that this series of pictures, people say, this is why women live longer than men. Check this guy out. Three tables and a ladder on top of three tables. Just makes you worried for the guy, doesn't it? These pictures make me a little bit nervous. When I look at him, I'm like, oh man, this is not going to end well. Let's check the next one. Okay, he's lifting something. What's he standing on? He's standing on one of those exercise balls that are not the most stable thing in the world, right? You know this is not going to end well. It can't end well. You just are nervous for the guy. Here, and look at him stretch, too. He does not look stable up there at the top. And up close, he's got a couple cinder blocks on top of a table on top of two benches. And then he's got the front end of the ladder on the little electrical box on the side of the house. I don't know if you can see that very well. And man, he's stretching to reach that thing. This guy, I don't know if he's painting or washing windows or what, but he just threw some boards out there and walked out. This guy, I'm just nervous looking at these guys. You wonder how many of these guys ended up in the hospital. Need some shade for lunch? Perfect. There's a caterpillar right there. Lift that thing up with the hydraulics, crawl underneath, have a nice, cool lunch. Oh, man. This guy. Honey, go trim the bushes. Okay. get your neighbor with his crane. Have him lift your lawnmower up to the top. Where do people come up with this stuff? And this guy kills me a little bit too. Risking your whole life with two little 2x4s. I just think, man, those things could just slip. That guy's toast. I look at these pictures and I'm just worried for these people. I'm nervous. I'm nervous for them. This guy, he has a tall ladder there on the left. I don't know why he's not using that one. But he's got two ladders with wood holding up this other ladder. And it just doesn't look safe. Now, look at the guy on top. That's where he's hanging outside of the building washing his window. And then the red circle is where he's actually at in the whole scale of the building. He's probably, 25 stories up? And he's hanging outside of his window, holding on with one arm. I got this. No problem. Let me wash the windows. This guy, digging a hole, big boulder right up above him. I'll keep working. Just put some sticks underneath there, and hopefully it'll hold the boulder. And these pictures just make me nervous and worried all the time. We worry a lot as people, though, don't we? We worry about a lot of different things. Most recently, everybody's worried about who's going to be our next president. I doubt that there's anybody in this room that hasn't looked at that, at the whole situation coming up and thought, oh man, we are in trouble. Either way. And people worry about this stuff. They lose sleep over this stuff. They just completely are fascinated with that. That's all they eat, breathe, and sleep. Who's going to be our... And they're scared to death of either one. And people are worried about what's going on. People worried about countries that have nukes. Unfriendly countries. Makes Americans nervous when we hear chants in countries that say death to America. People are worried about finances, worried about jobs, the loss of one, or getting another one. Worried about relationships, worried about our kids, worried about our health. These are big worries all the time. Worried about our health insurance, worried about a health procedure. We have lots and lots of things to worry about. Kids, what are you worried about? What are kids worried about? Worried about going out in the dark, maybe a little bit? No, no, you're too brave for that. Yeah, right. Worried about tests? Maybe worried about bullies at school? Kids worry about stuff too. In fact, adults, kids worry maybe more than you think they worry. If you go to a rough part of town, you might be worried about being robbed. There's people worried about vaccines. There's people worried about those without vaccines. Anybody ever landed in an airplane before? In Denver, it's an exciting experience landing in an airplane. The closest I think I've ever come to crashing is in Denver, landing here, because, and my prayer life goes through the roof when we're about to land in an airplane. I'm not kidding. I pray every time I'm about to land in an airplane because it makes me nervous. And in Denver, coming in one time, you know, it's that suspense where you try and calm yourself and you lean all the way back in the chair and try and put your head up against in case it's a big, big bounce and your head doesn't fly all over. And I was coming into Denver one time from California, and the pilot must have been a rookie. And we slammed into the ground, bounced the airplane. It bounced up into the side, and I was like, oh, we're about to drag a wing. And we had to have been inches from our right wing just dragging along there. Didn't drag. Bounced back up, landed, and everybody was like, ah! People were screaming in the airplane. Landing in airplanes makes me nervous, makes me worried a little bit. Every single time, I've flown a bazillion times. A lot I've flown in my life. And never, ever do I land in an airplane and think, yeah, it's good. I'm always like, okay, I have to relax. I have to calm myself down, say a quick prayer. I've never crashed. But I'm always worried. Always worried. We worry about a lot of stuff. If we stop and think about the things we worry, if you made a list right now of the things you're worried about, I bet you could probably come up with a pretty long list. Right off the bat, you're probably thinking, oh, it wouldn't be that big of a list. But when you got down and wrote, you'd be like, oh, yeah, I'm a little worried about that. I'm a little worried about that too. The more you think about stuff, the more we worry about things. The people that were closest to Jesus in the Bible also worried a lot. Turn in your Bibles to Mark chapter 4. Mark and the fourth chapter, second book of the Gospels. Mark chapter 4. We're going to start in verse 35. Mark chapter 4, verse 35. And it says this, on the same day when the evening had come, he said to them, let's cross over to the other side. And this is the Sea of Galilee right here. I like to see things that we're studying. This is the Sea of Galilee. This is the actual body of water that Jesus crossed in a boat. How cool is that? How we get to see pictures of this. My mom and dad are actually in Israel right now. They got there yesterday, and they're going to be there for, I think, a week and a half. And they sent me pictures of where Solomon's temple was this morning. How cool is that? I've always wanted to go to Israel and see all the stuff there. But this is a picture of the Sea of Galilee. This is where Jesus was teaching on the banks of this body of water. Wouldn't it be amazing to sit on the side of that body of water and just look out there and imagine and rehash all the different stories that happened where this picture was taken? All the different things that happened around this body of water. It's pretty amazing. It'd be awesome just to sit there on the side of that lake and read those stories. Jesus had just gotten done teaching. It says he'd been using parables just up ahead of time. In verse 34, ahead of this story, it says, but without a parable, he did not speak to them. Jesus told a lot of stories. I love that about Jesus. I love hearing his stories. I think we connect well with stories. And in this story, Jesus teaches us a very important lesson. They're on the edge of this lake right here. And Jesus says, all right, it's almost sundown. It's getting darker. And Jesus said, all right, let's go across the lake. Let's cross over to the other side. And when they had left the multitude, they took him along in the boat as he was, and other little boats were also with him. I don't know about you, but I think I've always missed that part of the verse. Whenever we see the pictures in the Bible stories, we see one boat, right? In our minds, when we read this, we see Jesus in one boat, at least in my mind. But here in the story, I don't know how I missed this all these years, it's Jesus in his boat, and it says there's a bunch of other little boats with him. Other people had their boats, and they all take off in this small convoy of boats across this lake in the evening. Other little boats were with him, which makes you think that Jesus' boat was also probably a littler boat. It wasn't some big, big, huge boat. It was a smaller boat. Now, Jesus has had a long day. He's been teaching. There's been thousands of people all around him. Jesus' life is intense anyways because people are always trying to trick him. They're always trying to trap him in words. And so Jesus, when he's teaching and there's all these people, it's probably a pretty intense situation all day long for him. Now the day is over. There's a nice, beautiful lake. They're going to cross over to the side. Hopefully a relaxing time for Jesus, right? It'd be nice to have a break. Let the guys sail the boat. Jesus is going to take a rest. Several of the other little boats were there. Jesus is tired. It says he grabbed a pillow, went to the back of the boat, and fell asleep, which must have been a very, very deep sleep. You know anybody who sleeps really, really deep? Some people are really light sleepers. When our kids were little, I was pretty sure that if one of my kids opened their eyelids, Aaron could hear it. She woke up one morning and said, "Man, it was a rough night last night." And I was like, "What do you mean?" She said, "Well, the kids were in our room, and there was screaming and stuff." And I was like, "What?" She's like, "Josh was screaming 4 feet from your head. You didn't hear that?" And I was like, "What am I supposed to say? Either way, I'm in trouble." I didn't hear a thing. I'm a deep, deep sleeper. I went to go visit a family in the hospital one time. They had just had their first kid. And it was actually Matt Moreland's brother, Mike, had their first kid. They were in the hospital, and Kate, the mom, had had the baby, and she was awake, and we went in there. It was evening time. And the baby was awake, and Dad sound asleep. And we were there to congratulate. "Oh, good, you know, congratulations." And then little baby Chase was there. And Kate, the mom, said, "Hey, go ahead and wake Mike up." And so I went over there to Mike, who was laying in the other bed. And I was like, "Hey, Mike." I shook his leg. "Mike, wake up." Nothing. "Mike." Shook his leg even harder. He just kind of wiggled a little bit. I was like, "Mike." I said it nice and loud. Nothing. I couldn't shake this guy for anything. He was just dead to the world. We were all three talking loud. I grabbed his shoulder and shook. I was like, "Mike." Nothing. I was like, "Oh, let the guy sleep." But I mean, some people sleep really, really heavy. And here, Jesus must have been exhausted. He crawls in the back of this boat. There's a cushion or a pillow of some sort. He lays down. Even if there's not like a soft bed, when you're that tired, you just lay down anywhere. And you're going to be out like that. The Bible says in verse 37, "And a great windstorm arose, and the waves beat into the boat so that it was already filling." A big storm. In the Greek, it uses a word. It says megale lilops, which means a great hurricane. Mega, megale. It's mega. That's the root word there. Mega, a big, a huge storm. And the Greek translation here says hurricane. Sometimes in my mind, I've always looked at this and been like, well, it's a big rainstorm. But the word they use there is hurricane. Anybody ever seen the winds of a hurricane? I don't know if it was an actual real hurricane or if they were using this, but what the author here is trying to say is that this was no slouch of a storm. It wasn't sprinkling and a little bit of a breeze. It was blowing so hard that the water was coming up over the edge of the boat. Waves were crashing over the edge of the boat and filling up the boat. And here they are out in the middle of that. Now we say, well, we can see the other side, so it can't be that far. I'm guessing that's probably about, I don't know, 10 miles across-ish. If you're out in the middle of that, You got to make a 5-mile swim in a storm. That ain't going to happen. That's not going to happen at all. And the storm is blowing these boats all over the place. It's a giant storm. It's not a little gate. It's a huge, full-on, hurricane-style storm. Verse 38, it says, "But he was asleep on a pillow." Sound asleep. That's some deep sleep, isn't it? Jesus must have been so tired. He's back there and the boat's moving around. There's water splashing and he's still out. Finally, they go back there. You think that, I imagine in my mind, as this is going on, the loudness of the wind, the wetness of the water splashing, everybody soaking wet on this boat. And they're bailing water, manning the sails, and looking back, well, there's Jesus. He's still there. Do we wake him up yet? No, let's not wake him up yet. Let's keep trying to do it ourselves. And they keep bailing the water, keep bailing the water. Look back. He's still sleeping. Leave him alone. Keep bailing the water. Keep working the sails. Jesus is still asleep in the back. You wonder what the point was where they said, all right, we got to wake Jesus up. It had gotten so bad that they realized they couldn't do anything on their own. And it wasn't until that point that they go and see Jesus. Do we do a little bit of the same thing sometimes? Is Jesus sort of our last resort when we're dealing with problems in life? Do we always try and handle it ourselves? And then when everything goes down the drain, we say, all right, God, now I'm ready for some advice. Now I'm ready for some help. Now I'm ready for some direction. Is that what we do with our own lives sometimes? You see, these guys are awfully worried that they're going to drown. And it's interesting, the first thing they say, they don't say, hey, Jesus, we could use a little bit of help here. That's not what they say. This is what they say. Because of their worry, because of their anxiousness, because of their uncertainty, the first thing they say to Jesus is, teacher, don't you care that we're dying here? They throw an accusation at Jesus. Don't you even care about us? We're dying out here, and you're taking a nap. They accuse Jesus of not caring. When we worry, we tend to lose our minds a little, don't we? We imagine worst-case scenarios. We think things that maybe aren't even true. And sometimes we blame God in our worries for things that he's not guilty of. Do you think for one hot second that Jesus didn't care about these guys? No way. No way. And yet the first thing when they finally go to him, don't you even care about us? And Jesus, it says, arose, verse 39. It says, he rebuked the wind and said to the sea, peace, be still. And here is a picture done by my daughter, Callie, of this story. And there's Jesus. You can see Jesus in the back of the boat sleeping there. And all the rain coming. Peace, be still. See, worry is a little bit of a control issue, isn't it? We like to be in control. But the question we have to ask is, who is in control? When we worry, we are trying to control what we can't control. Which makes absolutely no sense, does it? We are trying to control the uncontrollable. And that's what worry is. I saw this quote and I liked it. It said, worry is a sign that you have not put God in control. Chew on that one for a little bit. Worry is a sign that you have not put God in control. You know, I see these stickers that says that say, God is my co-pilot. You ever seen those stickers before? I don't think God is in the business of being a co-pilot. I think God is in the business of being a pilot. And that's why we don't need to worry about anything if God is our pilot. The worry means that we're trying to figure everything out and we need to be in control. Not worrying means that we've turned all that stuff over to God and He is now in control. Worry is a sign that you have not put God in control. Now that one stings a little bit because some of us are worry warts. Some of us worry a lot. I don't know where that phrase came from, worry wart. That's a weird phrase, isn't it? Worried sick. You ever heard that one? Worried sick. Some of us worry more than other people. Some of us struggle with this a little bit more. Worry is a sign that you have not put God in control. And here these guys in the boat finally realize that they need Jesus. When you're worried, when you're nervous, go talk to Jesus. Let Him in on everything. Give Him that worry. Let Him handle that for you. Because here we see that Jesus can handle anything. In the middle of this storm where humans are thinking they are about to die, which is a very tragic thing. If you think you're about to die, that's a very panicky sort of feeling. And yet Jesus is like, this is nothing. He stands up and He does something that they never even thought of. He talks to the wind and the waves. What? He speaks directly to the elements and He says, peace, be still. Which the same word is used, megale. He says, not just a sort of quietness, that's a mega, a very intense peace. The same word that's used to describe the fierceness of the hurricane or the storm in the past is the same word that's used to describe the absolute peacefulness that Jesus commands. And so in my mind, I see just this, just chaos in this storm. And then as soon as Jesus speaks these words, I imagine the most serene, peaceful, calm, not a ripple in the water. Not a flutter in the sail. You ever been to a place like that on the water where it's just absolutely quiet? It's really amazing. Really amazing. And this is what happens as soon as Jesus speaks these words. Peace, be still. And He said to them, why were you so fearful? How is it that you have no faith? Mercy. Is Jesus asking you that question today? Why are you so worried about the things in your life? Why are you freaking out about every little thing that happens? Why are you worried, 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 worried? Listen to what He says to these guys. He says, how is it that you have no faith? Whew. How do you think these guys felt on that boat? When we worry, what that says is that we don't trust God with our future. Some of us like to worry. Some of us, worrying is our favorite thing. I know people that are worried about everything. If you can name it, they're worried about it. And God says, if you're worrying so much about stuff, where's your faith in Me? Where's your reliance on Me? Let Me handle that stuff. It says they feared exceedingly. And I think that translates to they were wowed. They thought, wow, who is this? That even the wind and the ocean, the sea, obeys this man. Can you imagine what it would have been like to see that happen just like that? To be out there fearing for your life, and then Jesus, the one you're following, stands up in the middle of this and says, enough. Enough. Peace. Everything be still. Now. And boom, you see it with your own eyes that you were worrying for nothing. Worrying for absolutely nothing. Because really, if we know Jesus, what is there to worry about? Do we go through tough times in life? Yeah, but we go through them with Jesus and we know there's a better day coming. We know he'll take care of us either now or at the resurrection. But we know that Jesus wins. And if we know Jesus, there's no reason to be afraid of anything. Who can this be that even the wind and the waves obey him? There's a whole bunch of scripture that talks about trusting and not being worried. 1 Peter 5:7, casting all your cares upon him, for he cares for you. In the Greek, that word casting means unload. Unload all of those burdens that you're carrying around. When I was younger, I used to backpack a lot. And being 16, 17, 18 years old, I wasn't afraid of a 45-pound, 50-pound pack like I am now. When I think of a 45-pound pack, I get tired just thinking about it. But back then, I was like, yeah, I can take canned food backpacking. Throw it in there. Let's go. Go hike 10 miles. But by the time I would get to the campsite, I'd be like, oh, man, I'm just dying with this backpack on. It's killing me. Wasn't going to complain because I was 18. Didn't want to look like a wuss. And so I would carry this thing, and as soon as I would take that backpack off, it felt like I could jump over trees. It felt so good to take that burden off, and that's what this verse is saying. It says, unload your cares on who? On Jesus, for he cares for you. He will carry that burden for you. He'll carry that worry for you so you don't have to worry about it. This is kind of small. Sorry about that. But it goes through Matthew chapter 6, verse 25 to 33. For this reason I say to you, do not be worried about your life, as to what you will eat, what you will drink, nor for your body, as what you will put on. Is not life more than food and the body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air. They do not sow, they don't reap or gather in the barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not worth much more than they? And who of you, by being worried, can add a single hour to your life? Has worrying ever done you any good? Have you ever been like, man, I'm so glad I spent that last hour worrying. That was so worth it. I feel so much better now that I've worried for that hour. Not a single one of us have ever felt good about worrying. Who of you, by being worried, can add a single hour to your life? What he's saying is worrying does you no good. In fact, it breaks down your faith. Why are you being worried about clothing? Why are you worried about clothing? Observe how the lilies of the field grow. They do not toil, nor do they spin. Yet I say to you that not even Solomon in all of his glory clothes himself like one of these. But if God so clothes the grass of the field, which is alive today and tomorrow is thrown into the furnace, will he not much more clothe you? And then the faith thing comes up again. This connection with worrying and lack of faith. Oh, you of little faith. Do not worry then, saying, what will we eat? What will we drink? What will we wear for clothing? For the Gentiles eagerly seek all these things. For your heavenly Father knows that you need all these things. But seek first the kingdom of his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. So do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will care for itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own. That's true, isn't it? That's true. We have enough going on today that we don't need to worry about tomorrow. Don't worry about tomorrow. Tomorrow will take care of itself. These are good words to live by. Philippians 4:6-7. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Jesus Christ. God wants you to have faith and not worry. You see, when we worry, bad habits start to sneak in, right? When you're worried and nervous, sometimes we tend to eat. The tendency, if you've ever smoked, to grab a cigarette when you're nervous, it's huge. You want it to calm you down. Maybe have a drink. We go into bad habits when we worry and worry and worry. You know that worrying can be bad for your health? When God is telling you not to worry, there's a whole lot of good reasons for you not to worry. Here's some science from physicians on worry. Chronic worry and emotional stress can trigger a host of health problems. The problems occur when fight or flight is triggered daily by excessive worrying and anxiety. The fight or flight response causes the body's sympathetic nervous system to release stress hormones, such as cortisol. These hormones can boost blood sugar levels and triglycerides that can be used by the body for fuel. The hormones also cause physical reactions, such as this: difficulty swallowing, dizziness, dry mouth, fast heartbeat, fatigue, headaches, inability to concentrate, irritability, muscle aches, muscle tension, nausea, nervous energy, rapid breathing, shortness of breath, sweating, trembling, and twitching. When the excessive fuel in the blood isn't used for physical activities, the chronic anxiety and outpouring of stress hormones can have serious physical consequences, including suppression of the immune system, digestive disorders. Anybody ever had a stress ulcer or heard of somebody who had one? Short-term memory loss, premature coronary artery disease, heart attack, and they say if excessive worrying and high anxiety go untreated, they can lead to depression and even suicidal thoughts. You see, when God says, hey, don't worry about stuff so much, there's a whole lot of reasons. We will build our faith in God by worrying less and trusting Him more. And physically, even, we will be healthier by having more faith in God. Isn't that cool? The more we build our faith and trust in God, trusting Him with our worries, we will physically become healthier. Which just brings me back to knowing that God knows what He's doing. When God gives us some advice, He knows what He's doing. Worry is a control issue. Who is in control? You or God? Another couple verses, Luke chapter 12. Consider the ravens. They do not sow or reap. They have no storeroom or barn. Yet God feeds them. How much more valuable are you than birds? Who of you by worrying can add a single hour to his life? Let's go on to Jeremiah 17, 7 through 8. Blessed is the man who trusts in the Lord, whose confidence is in Him. He will be like a tree planted by the water that sends out its roots by the stream. It does not fear when the heat comes. Its leaves are always green. It has no worries in a year of drought and never fails to bear fruit because that tree has its roots connected to the stream. If your roots are connected to Jesus, it doesn't matter what drought hits you in life. Those worries won't matter because you're connected to Jesus. Matthew 6, 34, don't worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough trouble for its own, like Callie read a little bit ago. There was a man who was walking in the dark one evening, and it was kind of rough terrain, and as he was walking, it got really dark. Couldn't see very well, didn't have a flashlight. And as he was walking what he thought was on the path, he tripped over a root and stumbled and started to roll downhill. He started rolling really fast. And finally, he felt himself go airborne. And he knew that he was going over a ledge. And so his last-ditch effort, he reached out as he was going over the edge and grabbed on to a little thicket, some roots, and hung on for dear life. And there he was, swinging over the edge of this cliff. And as he was hanging on there, he started thinking about all of his options. He tried pulling himself up, trying throwing his leg up over the edge, didn't work. Tried to inch his way up hand over hand, kept sliding down, didn't work. Tried everything, nothing worked. And here he is hanging over this ledge. And he starts thinking to himself, I don't know how long I can hang here. His grip started to weaken, he started to get tired. And finally he got to the point where he's thinking, I can't do this much longer. His grip started to slip, tried to hang on a little bit more, started to slip. Finally, he slipped right off, and he fell 6 inches down to the ground. You see, he couldn't see what was down there, and he was so nervous and so worried about what he didn't know about. And he was worrying for nothing. How often do we worry for absolutely nothing? I would suggest to you, every time you worry, you're worrying for nothing. This is a very simple teaching of Jesus. And yet it's a very hard one for us to apply to our lives. Because worrying just comes so quickly, doesn't it? If you can't see the outcome in something, your first thing is, oh boy, what am I going to do if it goes like this? And what am I going to do if it goes this way? Then you think about 500 different options, all of which to you are no good. And now you have to worry about those. And it just goes downhill from there. And what God is saying to us today, don't worry. Trust me with your life. I'll take those worries from you. And I will guide your life. Life is so much better when we don't have to carry around the burden of those worries. Jesus says he will take those for you. Over and over in scriptures, he tells us not to worry. As a faith exercise, let's try this week. When you're tempted to worry about something, hit the brakes and say, okay, I'm going to give this to God. God, I'm going to trust you with this problem. And then let that worry go and see how you feel. See how your faith starts to build in letting God take care of those problems. There's a song we're going to sing as we close. It's called "Tis So Sweet to Trust in Jesus." And the words of this song are really true. Turn your eyes upon Jesus. Sorry. We already sang "Tis So Sweet." Turn your eyes upon Jesus. And the words go like this. Turn your eyes upon Jesus, look full in his wonderful face. And the things of earth will grow strangely dim. All those worries, those things that we think about here nonstop, the things of this earth will grow strangely dim. The stuff that you worry about that you think is so important will suddenly become not quite as important when you're looking at it through the light of his glory and grace. And you will see what a happy Christian you'll be when you're not worried about everything anymore. Let's stand as we sing together, "Turn Your Eyes Upon Jesus." Father in heaven, Lord, when we're tempted to worry, remind us, Lord, of the faith we can have in you if we'll just trust you. Lord, there's so many things we worry about. And Lord, help us to remember as we begin to worry about those things, help us to remember those Bible promises that you will take care of us. You will take that burden. We can unload it, and you will carry it for us. And Lord, we want to experience that joy, that happiness, that freedom that these songs have talked about, that we can have in you and trusting you. Lord, build our faith in you. Thank you so much for being willing to help us with our worries and letting us live a life free of those concerns. Lord, we know that when we do that, we'll have more smiles on our face. We'll enjoy life a little more. So help us, Lord. Help us to turn that control in our lives over to you is our prayer today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.